This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. That's music from the soundtrack of Ghost World, a film which is on many critics' 10 best lists for 2001. Now it's nominated for an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay. The film is based on a comic book by my guest Daniel Klaus. He co-wrote the screenplay with the film's director, Terry Zwigoff, who we'll meet later in the show. Ghost World is about two teenage girls, Enid and Rebecca, who have just graduated from high school and are in that limbo between school and whatever happens next. The smart, cynical girls identify with the losers and misfits of the world. Although they're best friends, they're starting to drift apart for reasons they don't quite understand. Enid is played by Thora Birch, and Rebecca is played by Scarlett Johansson. Rebecca has started a new job working at the register of a cafe that's part of a big chain. Every day, the cafe offers a free cup of coffee in exchange for the correct answer to the day's posted trivia question. And every day, a man in a motorized wheelchair triumphantly collects his free coffee with the help of his laptop computer, which is hooked up to the internet. In this scene, Enid is visiting Rebecca at work and witnesses the daily trivia ritual.
Have a decaf mocha to go?
Mm-hmm. One decaf mocha?
Decaf mocha.
Can I get you?
No, I do not want a biscotti with that.
God. Some people are okay, but mostly I just feel like poisoning everybody.
Well, at least the wheelchair guy is entertaining.
He doesn't even need that wheelchair. He's just totally lazy.
That rules.
No, it really doesn't. You'll see. You get totally sick of all the creeps and losers and weirdos.
But those are our people.
Yeah, well...
Daniel Klaus, welcome to Fresh Air.
Hello there.
When you were in high school and shortly after high school, did you, like Enid in Ghost World, carry a sketch pad and sketch people who struck you as particularly interesting or particularly ridiculous?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I drew all the kids in my high school class, you know, and a variety of, you know, sexual positions with, you know, animals and things like that. And, you know... drew all the teachers, and of course, once a year, that one of the teachers would pick up my notebook, you know, while I was obviously not paying attention in class, and read it out loud to the whole class, you know, humiliating me. But, you know, and I still do that. I still every day draw little notes and pictures about people I'm observing.
Now, the character of Enid has a scene in a comic book store. She doesn't like the people who work in the store. They mock her, and the people who work in the store are all young guys. What's your experiences with comic book stores and with the culture inside them?
I try to have as little to do with that whole culture as possible. I mean, I find it very alienating. I feel like it has very little to do with what I do. I mean, the typical comic store sells mostly only superhero comics that are geared for an audience of sort of perpetual adolescents, most of which are not adolescents at all, but 30 to 40-year-old men who, for some reason, are stuck in this part of their lives where they really need these kind of power fantasies. And it's just sort of endlessly annoying and alienating to me. I've really no relation to it. I feel very separate from it. I find it sort of aesthetically vulgar or something. I mean, that sounds a little snooty, but... It's not something I want to be attuned to at all.
When did you start drawing comics?
Before I could read, actually. My brother left me a giant pile of comics in his room, and I used to look at those and sort of try to piece together the weird archetypes you'd see in these old comics, which are all, you know, superheroes and monsters and idiots and hags and caves and all these strange sort of mythological archetypes, and you know, I try to sort of draw my own versions of these very crudely when I was 4 or 5 years old.
You went to art school. You went to the Pratt Institute in New York, and one of your early comics, the first edition of 8-Ball, had a story called Art School Confidential. And
yes.
In it you write, Art School Confidential blows the lid off a $1 million racket. See rich guys who draw worse than your 7-year-old sister. See has-been famous artist professors who couldn't teach a dog to bark. Self-obsessed neurotic art girls who make their own clothes. And you write, the teachers aren't there to help you. Most of them are still freelancers, and the last thing they want is more competition. They're there because they need a steady paycheck, and they hope to score with the students. Does that kind of sum up your reaction to art school?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exaggerating with that. I mean, that was how I felt. I mean, when I went to art school, it cost me, I think, $8,000 to go for all 4 years, and now it's like that much for one unit. You know, it costs like $60,000 or $100,000 to go to art school, and I think, you know, one out of 500 people actually make a living as an artist. So it's definitely a racket.
Let me play an art school scene from Ghost World. Well, this is an art class, I should say. Enid is taking an art class, and her teacher, played by Ileana Douglas, at this point is reviewing the students' art projects. And she's holding up Enid's class submission, which is Enid's comic sketchbook.
What can you tell us about this piece?
Enid. Well, it's kind of a diary, I guess.
Colorful. I think that Philip and Enid can help us to see that there are many different ways we can express ourselves. We can do things like these cartoons that are amusing as a sort of a light entertainment, or we can do work that is more serious in scope and feeling and that deals with issues, emotional, spiritual, political, of great importance.
In the comic book Ghost World and in the movie Ghost World, there's one student artwork that consists of a tampon in a teacup. And in the movie, it's submitted by a woman student, and it's supposed to be making a feminist statement. In the comic book version, it's submitted by a male student, and it's called Tangerine Amoeba Apartheid Heartbeat Number 4. was this based on a real art submission in high school or college?
I'm actually afraid I could be sued for that by the poor guy who turned that in.
And what was your reaction to the piece when you saw it in real life?
Oh, I just thought it was one of those brilliant things where he obviously hadn't done his homework, and he was sitting there at the breakfast table that morning, and he got the brilliant idea to put a tampon in his teacup and bring it in. And that's the beauty of art school, is he sort of got away with it. I think he probably got, you know, like a C+ or something for that.
Well, in your comic Art Book Confidential, you write, seldom will you be afforded the chance to scrutinize such an array of losers in an environment that actually encourages their most pretentious inclinations.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it all. I mean, it's this world where, you know, you're not going there to learn to do painting techniques and things like that. You're going to learn how to express yourself and to, you know, you're being taught by people who are sort of abstract expressionists or conceptual artists who have no sense of how to, you know, paint a horse or to draw in perspective or anything like that. So God forbid you should learn anything useful like that. You're taught to sort of fit into the art world in some way, and to everybody goes with this sort of intention of showing what a genius they are, and it can be quite amusing.
Well, Dan Clowes, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Daniel Clowes recorded last summer. He co-wrote the screenplay for Ghost World, which is based on his comic of the same name. This is Fresh Air.